It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, welcome back to Little Bat Studio. It is time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. With all the football still to come, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes, and don't forget their famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary mix. Top it all off, go to 409tailgateclub.com. Use the code KSN for a best special discount for our Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com. And remember, use the code KSN. All right, top question will be announced. The winner will be announced in quarter number four.
Hopefully.
And they'll get a gift box from 409tailgateclub.com. Ross, are you ready, sir?
Yes.
This one comes from Mitch in Dresher, Pennsylvania. That's Montgomery County.
Ooh.
Ross, do great offensive minds perfect a system, or can they adapt to the talent on hand? Coach Soraka didn't really run the RPO at Minnesota and rarely threw to the tight ends. Is he being set up for success? And is he being asked to run a system other than what he has had success with?
You adapt to the talent at hand. I think Soraka has done that. He's run RPOs. Maybe they don't look the same to Penn State fans, but they've run pass options. You know, Franklin even said when he hired him that he liked that Soraka would be putting their players in their best positions, and was willing to sacrifice or something. He made some point.
Humble, humility.
Yeah, some point where I think he, and I took that to mean that he is willing to keep Penn State's nomenclature and language rather than totally switching it to what he's used to. But the answer to the question is great coaches take the players that they have and create the best scheme for those players to be successful. I don't think you're a great coach if you just have a scheme and think these guys can be successful in it. That can work, but adapting your personnel based on what they do best always works, right?
Right.
So having the guys run your scheme can work, but suiting the scheme to them always works.
And Penn State got RPO'd to death by Minnesota.
They did.
On November, was it the 9th or the 7th? The defenders, and Franklin talked about it afterwards, they just did not react well to the RPO. They bid on the run, and they absolutely killed him with the passing game. And that receiver, Rashad Bateman, I think had over 200 yards receiving. It was all RPO.
All right, this one comes from Ed in Ellicott City, Maryland. He says, I want to be the cool guy, Ross. Any interest, Ross, in becoming Penn State's next offensive line coach? Seriously. But do you think James Franklin can find someone even better than Matt Limegrover? And my last point is, Jim should be on the show more. He seems to be the only one who knows what he's talking about.
Whoa. Is that email from Jim in Berwick?
Yeah, is it Berwick? Is it from John?
Jim in Bloomsburg asks.
Oh, is it really?
Ah.
Oh.
This is from Ed in Ellicott City, Maryland. But his basic question is, do you think James Franklin has a different idea for this offensive line in a coach?
So he wouldn't have let go of Limegrover unless he was 100% sure that he was going to get somebody that he thinks is better. Like, let's just use logic here, right? So I think we talked about it earlier. I think he has a pretty good idea in mind who it would be.
James always has a plan.
Let's put it this way. If James Franklin called me, I would talk to him about it and I would listen. But I highly doubt it would work for a bunch of different reasons. And some of them, if I say it, it makes it sound like I think I'm great or something. So I'm not going to even say them.
I don't think Herb Hand's coming back.
No. That's a good one, Bob. All right, this one comes from David in Shippensburg. How is it possible for an offensive line to look that bad in pass protection and that marvelous in run blocking? Was it the scheme by Memphis? Was it just personnel? Help me out, Ross.
They're two different skills. They're two different traits. It'd be like saying, how is it possible for a running quarterback to run the ball so well but not be able to throw it? I mean, it's two different things. So it was not really scheme. It was mainly the fact that the offensive line, especially the interior trio, were excellent in the running game. And the tackles, in particular, Will Fry. I mean, it was almost all Fries. I have to go back and look at it again.
I thought Rashid actually had a pretty good game. I really thought
he's a pretty good player.
He was throwing people around, especially in the run. Those guys were going like 5 yards the other way.
CJ Thorpe was just putting people on the carpet all game.
I need to look at it again, but I think it was pretty much all Will Fries, and he just really struggled against a good player. That kid's a good player.
Yeah.
I mean, they said before the game he's a good player and that he's going to make plays. I wasn't expecting him to make that many, but he did.
Okay, next question comes from Matt in Melbourne, Australia, and I will not do any Australian accent. Thank you. He says, Matt here from Australia. Last time I asked a question, you guys wondered how I became a Penn State fan. I Googled the number one party school in the U.S., and Penn State came up, so off I went. But I have a quick question. Who should be happier with their season? Ohio State with a Big Ten title, but underachieving with a lot of upperclassmen in the semifinal, or Penn State with a Cotton Bowl win, a younger team with an inconsistent offense and some losses that they could have played better in, but in the end they performed well. Who do you think had the better season, Ross?
That is a really good question.
Ooh.
What's that?
We're not shipping to Australia.
Yeah, we're not shipping to Australia.
That's still a good
question. But that is a really good question. I think Ohio State still had a better year. I mean, they went undefeated. They're arguably the best team in the country. They won the conference.
And that game was beautiful in its savagery.
And they were better than Clemson, I thought.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as good as LSU, but I thought Ohio State was better than Clemson. I mean, J.K. Dobbins fumbles.
Getting hurt.
I mean, I'm sorry. J.K. Dobbins drops two touchdown passes.
Yeah.
They get a punt blocked. They get roughing the punter.
Yeah.
They get the Sean Wade. I mean, the game was about to be over on the Sean Wade sack until they called that roughing the passer. I mean, Ohio State, I think if they played Clemson, I think they beat them 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
That they were the better team. So I guess they could be disappointed that they lost that one game. But the refs also kind of really gave them a raw deal. So I would say Ohio State. But I think Penn State has a lot to be proud of. I think it'd be closer if Penn State had beaten Minnesota, and if Penn State had won the Rose Bowl against Oregon. I think we'd be having a different conversation.
All right, this one comes from Joseph in Scranton. He said, "Dear Ross, it seems that Matt Limegrover was actually doing a pretty good job the last 2 years compared to his first 2 years. Can you give me your best thoughts and reasons and a guess maybe as to why they would not renew his contract?"
I mean, honestly, I feel like we already talked about that. I don't really have anything else to add there. If you didn't listen to quarter one, go back and listen to it. I'm surprised by the move. I don't really know what the logic would be other than Franklin maybe thinks one of the NFL guys that came in the spring wants to do it and would be an upgrade, or maybe it's someone that has a comfort level with Kirk Shiraka.
You're listening,
or both. Maybe it's both.
Could be both. You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce rubs and 409 tailgate wine needs. Visit 409tailgateclub.com. Don't forget, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Okay, this comes from Brad in Doylestown, excuse me. With the hire of Kirk as our new offensive coordinator, would it be wise for Justin Shorter to consider a return to Penn State based on what Kirk did with large wide receivers at Minnesota? Interested to hear your thoughts.
That's a good question. Who's that guy?
This is Brad in Doylestown.
That's the best question so far.
Leader in the clubhouse,
and
Brad.
And the answer is yes. He should strongly consider it. You know, he was at the Minnesota game. He kind of saw their two receivers getting fade ball after fade ball and catching them. I think he shook his head. Now, he's already visited Florida. My guess is usually once they're in the portal and they start taking visits to other places, my guess is Chip's gone. He was such a highly touted kid, so highly recruited, that I'm sure he's getting loved up and they're telling him everything he wants to hear. So I doubt he'll be back, But if he was smart, he should, because you know who needs help at receiver next year? Penn State.
Right. Yeah.
And he could take the next step and be part of them going to the college football playoff. I have a tough time picturing him having an impact, a bigger impact somewhere else than he could have at Penn State next year. He could be, with his talent, the missing piece in what could be a really, really good team.
Yeah, and we'll go into the offseason. We'll talk about this more. But with Hamler going pro and Justin Shorter going the transfer portal, probably the biggest question for Penn State entering 2020 is the wide receiver position. Yeah. It's a really, really big mystery.
All right. I wish he hadn't done it in season like that. It just rubs me the wrong way. I think it has to rub some people in the program the wrong way to do it. There's a right way, I think, to do that, and I just didn't think that was handled very well.
All right, this comes from Jeff in Washington, D.C. Hey, Ross. Minnesota's offense was known for getting an early lead, then using their running backs to bleed the clock in the second half to win games this year. James Franklin, however, even when the game is well in hand, he stresses not changing his offense and wants to score as much as possible to gain experience and look favorable to the playoff committee. With Soraka, Kirk as the OC, how do you see these philosophies kind of coexisting? That was something I thought about. James likes to keep it on in the game plan, and Soraka definitely, you could watch Minnesota games, see that he had a formula for winning.
What you don't know there is how much that was Soraka's philosophy or PJ Fleck.
Good point. Very good point.
And I think PJ Fleck thought, in a lot of instances, like Penn State, like Auburn, they're not as good as the team they're playing. So if you get a lead, milk the heck out of the clock. Soraka's going to do what Franklin tells him to do. He's kind of his boss. So Franklin tells him, pedal to the metal, he's going to go pedal to the metal. If Franklin wants him to bleed the clock a little bit more, he'll bleed the clock a little more. I thought Penn State could have started letting the play clock go down a drive before they started doing it. It was the drive. They scored a touchdown on the drive. I thought they could have let the clock go down more then. They didn't do that. They scored. They ended up doing the next couple drives. It's fine. But I thought they could have spent more time there.
Yeah, the time of possession thing, the way James keeps bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up, this is something he knows is going to be a sticking point, that he's drawn a line in the sand. Don't you feel?
James loves his four-minute offense. Iowa, Michigan, I don't think that'll change.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number three from the Labatt Blue Studio. We will announce the winner of the 409tailgateclub.com gift box at the beginning of quarter four. Stick around. We'll be right back.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.